The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hello, everybody, and a pleasant good afternoon. You know, baseball announcer, Starling. Yeah, love that.
Great.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey.
Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. You ready to get this tournament started already?
I'm ready to tee off, Gil.
Let's go.
Love Masters Week, man.
We love Masters Week. You know what we love more than Masters Week? The Masters itself. Can't wait for it to start. But we have one more morning where we are golf heavy, and we are going to do on this show, among other things. First of all, Paul Spohr on baseball. We will have other stuff. Will Hill on baseball. Nick Whalen, National Basketball Association. Toddy Wishnev himself will be here to talk MLB and sort of review his college basketball season, but really heavy on the Masters. Sia Nejad on the Masters today. Dave Tindall will join us momentarily, our annual tradition here, unlike any other, where Dave Tindall from Betfair, or one of the places he writes for is Betfair. He will give us his Masters trends piece, which we look forward to as well. And you and I, Kelly, are going to do a VSiN High Stakes Masters Challenge, the splashsports.com/VSiN contest. You and I are going to do a little draft between ourselves.
That's right.
This is the
get signed up now.
People should get signed up now. This is splashsports.com/VSiN, promo code VSiN. This is, I believe Matt Brown said on the Beating the Bookmasters podcast that he is going to travel across state lines to participate in this. Was that
believe.
Correct? I believe. Anything else that he does criminally that we should suggest on air?
there's nothing wrong with that.
No. How it works, again, there's six tiers. We draft one golfer from each tier, not just Kelly and me, but this is how the contest works. You draft one golfer from each of the six tiers. Your top five scores will count. The lowest combined score across all four rounds of your six golfers wins. Missed cuts carry, though, an eight-stroke penalty. So that's a big strategic note there at the bottom.
Yep.
If one, or God forbid, two of your six do not make the cut, you're toast. So you want to make sure they all make the cut. Again, the deadline for this is just over 24 hours from, well, actually, less than 24 hours from now. 7:40 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. So 4:40 Pacific tomorrow. So less than 24 hours from now, Kelly and I will do a draft on this. Can't wait, man.
I think that got an update. Great contest, but I have done a lot of these at Splash and office football pools beforehand. These tier contests, they're awesome. I love the little wrinkle with kind of the rules in here of about guys missing the cut on everything.
$500 entry, $100,000 guaranteed.
Yeah, and this is, I can't wait to go through it with you because it is, it's a contest. Just like when you and I talk about Survivor during March Madness, right? Like, it's not what my bets are for this week are not going to match up perfectly with this because there's game theory that's involved. Absolutely. And yes, the missing the cut part is big.
Why don't we all get in a car, just go across to Hoover Dam? Again, they ask us, are you here to see one of America's finest engineering marvels? No, we're here to enter the Splash Sports Contest.
Got to go check on the food truck. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. You really should. You're really trustworthy.
It's been years since I've been down there checking
the
thing.
Honor system on your food truck. People right, just take one. That's how it works. Yesterday, though, before we get it all, because we got a bunch of golf, so I just want to get through a couple of things on, first of all, tennis. We don't have any more tennis today. They're in Europe. This is going to happen now based on time zones. Had two plays on the overnight. VSiN subscribers got that. VSiN.com/picks. We split them. They were both dogs, so a small profit. Elena Gabriela Ruse beat Diana Yastremska in three sets, plus 115 winner. We did lose on Alejandro Tabilo, though, plus 109 versus Yuri Lehechka, who came back and beat him. It was a second set tiebreaker where we could have won it. We don't, and that's the end of that. So we split, small profit. That's the tennis story. Baseball yesterday. Oh, man. What's beautiful about the beginning of a baseball season or towards the start of the baseball season is obviously the first day, opening day, right? It's aces abound. Everybody's pitching their aces. When you're only like one or two ways through the, you know, times through the rotation,
yeah,
it's still, there are days like yesterday where there's lots of aces pitching. And, you know, Robbie Ray was great for the Giants. Kyle Freeland, well, him and ace, was great for the Rockies. George Kirby, Nathan Eovaldi, they had a good pitcher's duel with the Mariners and the Rangers. Rangers got the best of it, 3-2. It's funny, Taj, pardon me, in the Tigers game, it wasn't Tarek Skubal who was the ace, or at least performing like an ace. Tarek Skubal fell to 1-2 on the season.
Whoa.
Taj Bradley was the real star of that game for the Twinkies. And then the big ones yesterday, or some of the bigger ones, Trevor Rogers was great. 6 innings, 2 earned runs for the Orioles on 6 hits, 6 Ks, no walks as the O's beat the White Sox. Yoshinobu Yamamoto for the Dodgers. 6 innings, Trump picked up right where he left off in the World Series. Mm-hmm. Game 7 against the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays just good. Can you believe we dead heated the Blue Jays last undefeated? They cannot win a baseball game anymore.
That's crazy.
Yamamoto, 6 innings, gave up 1 earned run, 5 hits, 6 Ks, 1 walk against the Jays. Garrett Crochet for the Red Sox, 6 1/3 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 7 Ks, 2 walks for the Red Sox and their win over the Brewers yesterday. This is leading to something. And then Paul Skeens.
Yeah, I know.
Paul Skeens, 6 1/3 for the Pirates. Paul Skeens doing Paul Skeens things, gave up 1 earned run, 2 hits, 6 Ks, 2 walks, and the Pirates 7-1 win over the Padres.
He's back, Gil.
He's pretty darn good. Tarek Skubal not back. Paul Skeens back. But what this is leading to is, people probably know where I'm going with this, maybe the most impressive of all these performances yesterday was from Sandy Alcantara of the Miami Marlins. What did I call him? The Florida Marlins for a second?
You almost did.
Yeah. Sandy Alcantara of the Miami Marlins was coming off a complete game shutout, a complete game 3-hit shutout against the White Sox, I believe it was. And he did it in less than 100 pitches. Complete game shutout against the White Sox, 3-hit shutout, less than 100 pitches. That is referred to in the business as a Maddox, a tribute to the great Greg Maddox, who I know is very popular here at Circa.
Yeah.
Who had a... you know, was not only a great pitcher, but had a penchant for efficiency as well in complete game shutouts where he would do it under 100 pitches. And this became referred to as a Maddox. So Sandy Alcantara against the Reds, our Reds, if you will, March, April Reds, was just going beautifully again yesterday. Now, keep in mind, this is off a complete game shutout where he had pitched to Maddox. So he is as efficient as could possibly be yesterday against the Reds. The Marlins are winning it 2-0. The Marlins are, I mean, it might as well have been 10-0, it felt like. Reds couldn't do anything against him. And he enters the 9th inning. He records the first out. And all of a sudden, you know, not all of a sudden, this was sort of building for a couple innings. But now he's 2 outs away from not only a back-to-back complete game shutouts, which hasn't been done in Major League Baseball. I was looking this up. Some reports said 2015, although nobody could produce a name. Hmm. I know Cliff Lee did it in 2010. But it was also a chance for a back-to-back Maddox complete game shutouts under 100 pitches each time. Do you know who the last player was to complete a back-to-back Maddox?
Who?
Greg Maddox. That's how rare this is. A quarter of a century. Alcantara was 2 outs away from doing this against our Reds. And then Kelly... By the way, following the Marlins announcer, watching these announcers watching this in real time was hilarious because they were going from there's no chance the Marlins lose this game, right? Like this is we're on the cusp of history here too. Then Matt McClain doubles.
Is Tommy Hutton still on the call?
Tommy Hutton is exactly who I wanted. He's the color guy.
I love Tommy Hutton.
Tommy Hutton was ready to just he was ready to explode.
I think it's his final year
because McClain doubled. Then Ellie De La Cruz walks. So, all right, you do have runners at first and second out with 1 out. They're still up 2-0. He's at 95 pitches. What do you think Marlins manager Clayton McCullough does at this point?
What?
He pulls Alcantara.
Oh, boy.
Hutton is losing his mind, by the way. Alcantara after the game saying, I just wish somebody would ask me how I feel.
Got locker room problems already, Marlins.
They pull him. Anthony Bender in. Double steal. Sal Stewart, sack fly. Everyone advances. It's 2-1. Suarez walks. Then what do you know? A wild pitch. De La Cruz scores. It's 2-2. The Reds survive a jam in the bottom of the 9th. Jam. And then plate 4 in the top of the 10th. And the Reds continue to win. 8-3 atop the NL Central. Again, only the Dodgers, Yankees, Reds, and Brewers have either 8 or 9 wins. Dodgers on the cusp of winning the race to 10. But that the aces were amazing throughout baseball. Alcantara is 18-1 as long. I know there's a lot of people got him last week at much better numbers. Yep. I think there was like a stray 65-1 somewhere. He is as long as 18-1. He hasn't really been playing the best offenses. Let's be honest, right? The White Sox and Reds are not exactly the 27 Yankees, mm-hmm. but he couldn't, like, you can't have a better pitching performance than you've had the last 2 days. And he was robbed of a potential history yesterday.
Yeah. He's 18-1 still at DraftKings right here.
Yeah.
In front of me. I'd first pulled this up to see what that Skeens number had done. Still plus 340.
Yeah. As long as Skeens is there, I don't know how serious you can get about anybody else, but Alcantara sure is making a case for it here in the early season.
I know it's only one start, but after Skeens had drifted after one start, I kind of surprised. I was kind of expecting that number to be shorter. It's still tied with Sanchez at the top, plus 340.
I wouldn't be betting Sanchez at that number, but that's just me. Anyway, March, April, most wins. Dodgers 9-2, Yankees 8-2, Brewers and Reds 8-3.
There are some of the, I know it's early, but some of these starts, like, I mean, some of these teams, Orioles 5-6, some of these teams we were just talking about expecting big things from, right? Like Pirates 7-4, a good start by them. Red Sox, you brought up yesterday. I mean, they've got their third win yesterday.
Again, we're not even 10% of the way into the season, you know.
Nationals, White Sox, and Rockies, though, not as bad as we were expecting.
Not as bad. Red Sox still have the worst record in baseball, I believe.
Yep.
I think so.
Yeah. Even with the win yesterday. Anyway. That was an unbelievable event yesterday. We could have seen history again. First time in 25 years that would have been since someone threw back-to-back Maddoxes two outs shy, and the Reds not only break it up, they win the game. Incredible. Golf, next. Dave Tindall, who writes lots of places, but maybe most famously at Betfair. His annual Masters Trends piece, his formula, if you will, next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you want to bet smarter, and I know you do, start with smarter insights on the website, VSiN.com. Right now, you can check out Wes Reynolds' Masters preview, Masters first round leader picks, and Greg Peterson's MLB best bets. By the way, you know how we call it the Masters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just so geocentric. People around the world call it the American Masters, the U.S. Masters.
There are other Masters out there.
Yeah, that's right. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA picks and props, Jonathan Davis's NHL picks, and NASCAR Food City 500 simulation. Get VSiN Pro for as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days or save 50% off with an annual subscription. Find all of our subscription options at vsin.com/subscribe. Kelly, you know how I have my my little college basketball formula that I do for March Madness this year. Michigan throughout was one of the teams, obviously, that was in the group isolated to win the national championship. It was a very unsexy sort of formula this year. Most people could have figured that out for themselves, and it ends up going with Michigan manifesting to win the title. Well, Dave Tindall, our buddy at Dave Tindall Golf on Twitter, he writes for Betfair, among other sites. He has an annual Masters Trends piece, which is essentially his Masters formula as well, which produces what he feels in terms of his point system might be or might very well be, at least what his formula produces, as the winner of the Masters of the Year. And last year, he had at the top of his list, I think they were tied, was Russell Henley and Rory McIlroy. Mm-hmm. We all know Rory McIlroy ended up getting the proverbial monkey off his back, wins the Masters, gets himself the career slam. Dave Tindall joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive guest line from England, to give us his trends piece for this year. Dave, good morning, or I should say good afternoon to you.
Yeah, afternoon here. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, let's not talk about Russell Henley. Let's just talk about Rory McIlroy.
That's right. Well, you know, look, hey, they were both at the top there. Only one can win, so you got one of them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Dave, thanks for doing this. Let's go through the criteria, if you will, first.
Yeah, you've kind of done my job for me with that rather lovely graphic there. So yeah, 10 trends I use. I use frequency. So I look at the last 10 years and how often something has happened in that last 10 years at the Masters. So age, for example, 20-something still. There's a lot of the best players have now drifted into their 30s, but the Masters is still won normally by a 20-something, six of the last 10. I think we've got three 30-year-olds, and then Tiger in 2019 was in his 40s. World ranking, I now use Data Golf because obviously Live has that's skewed. I know Live are getting rankings now, but it's still quite not quite caught up. So eight of the last 10 were in the top 20 for world ranking. Appearances, again, you don't want too few. So you've normally got to play three times at the Masters. That's the best kind of predictor if you've played that many. We've had a few exceptions, Jordan Spieth, Danny Willett. Best Masters finish, this is a good one because sometimes people say, oh, you've got to have had a good run, but you've got to have had a very good run. So seven of the last 10 had actually had a top five at Augusta. So they've really proved that they could handle a course. So that's always an important one. The one I quite like is having the game for Augusta. People talk about what you need to do. And basically everything well. I know that specifically people will concentrate on maybe around the green and an approach. But if you look at all the winners, they had shown that they could do all the elements well at Augusta. So someone like Bubba, people maybe thought, well, Bubba maybe just, we knew he hits it a mile. Maybe he just had a fluky putting year. Well, not even, he won it twice. So maybe just came alive on the greens. But before he won his first, he'd shown he could put these greens well. So these categories. So nine of the 10 last winners had previously recorded a top 20 for driving distance. Eight of the 10 had finished top 20 for driving accuracy. And so it goes on. So most of the winners had already proved that they could do all the elements well. So somebody like Colin Morikawa has never driven it far enough and never putted well enough. So he would just not quite squeeze good points from that category because he's yet to show that he can do both of those. I think we all know the defending champion struggles. Very, very rarely get back-to-back winners. Nicholas, Faldo, Woods are the only three to have done it. So good luck, Rory, with that. Recent form, that's another one where McIlroy is struggling because in my recent form, I'm specifically saying you've got to have done it in April or March, you know, not banked your good form back in February. So someone like McIlroy hasn't had a good finish for a while. Neither has Scottie Scheffler, interestingly. He's just drifted in that time. So they would lose marks for that. Winning form, it's always good to have had a win going into Augusta. So seven of the last 10 winners had already won that year. And then another strong one, I've seen other trends pieces and they really pick up on this. It's showing you've played well in a recent major. So nine of the last 10 Masters winners have posted the top six in the major in one of the previous two seasons. That's really important. So somebody like Akshay Bhatia, for example, he's not proven that he can do it at this level yet. I'm sure he will, but he's not there yet. So that goes against him. Then a slightly kooky one is last year's finish. You would think maybe intuitively, if you played well last year, you might play well again, but it's actually the opposite. Players who didn't do so well the year before, maybe they're hungrier. Maybe the guys that did do well are kind of a bit complacent. They think, oh, we've got this sussed. So it actually helps if you've not had a top 10 the previous year. So McIlroy hadn't, and that probably helped him get even more hungry. So we go through all those trends, and then we put them into a scoring system. I know some people like to do an eliminator, and if somebody fails in a category, they wipe them out. But I'd like to, you know, put points to people. So you can sort of add them up. It adds to the sort of thrill of kind of who's going to come out on top when you add them all up. So are we at that point? Do you want me to run through?
Absolutely. If you could do them in countdown form, lead to the guy at the top. Who we got in your top 10 or top 8?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So let's start with this. So tied ninth. So there's three of those. Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama. No surprises for those two, really. Patrick Cantlay, slight surprise that he'd be there. Number eight. Now, here we go. Scottie Scheffler, only number eight. So his poor play in recent weeks on non-play, but the last time he did play, he was outside the top 20 both times. So he's marked down for that. Number seven, a lot of people will have him higher, but Bryson DeChambeau only gets in at number seven. I'm trying to think why he didn't score score higher than that. I think he's one of the ones who's actually punished for playing well last year. Maybe he thinks he's got it sussed. I mean, do you remember when he said he thought it was a par 67 for him?
Yes.
So any sort of complacency that creeps into DeChambeau could go against him. So he's only number seven. Alongside, actually, Russell Henley, who's back in there again, although I don't think I've got much faith in him again after last year's miscut. Although he did play quite well in the second round. Now we're into the top five, so joint fourth. We've got the English duo of Tommy Fleetwood and Matt Fitzpatrick. I think they'll be on a lot of cards this week. I personally don't think Fitzpatrick hits it high enough. I think when you look at the Apex height stats, I think he's second bottom of those, especially when it's going to be firm and fast. I think he might struggle to hold the greens. So I think he'll go well, but I can see a few beating him. Number three, Colin Morikawa. Although he's not, I mentioned him earlier, that he's not driven it long enough and put it quite well enough. He's got all the other elements. He's won the season as well. Obviously with him, it's a bad back, isn't it? We don't quite know where he is with that. Number two, Cameron Young. Very keen on his chances. He ticks all the boxes. He's sort of set a base camp in the majors. He's got a couple of Masters top tens. He's won the Players as of the last two winners here, which leads me to number one. And if you've not kind of worked out, well, who's he not said yet? I'm going to tell you now, it's John Rahm. John Rahm.
Wow.
The only category he slightly goes down is in he's now in his 30s, so it would have been slightly better in his 20s. But everything else, Rahm ticks the lot. So he is this year's Trends winner by 2 points from Cameron Young.
John Rahm, this year's Trends winner. And I only have one follow-up, and we'll let you go, Dave, which is, now, Dave Tindall, the golf observer, the golf better, the golf fan, when you see that result, does that sort of check out for you? You think that sounds about right?
I was very happy to see him come out number one. I always make sure I don't try and manipulate the numbers. I just let them flow out. And to see him there, you know, he's played really well on LIV. He's got a win, 3 seconds and a fifth. Obviously won here. I don't think Rahm is a one-time Masters winner. So I think he's in the form to get that number two. And there's just a bit of off-the-course stuff with his kind of fallout with the DP World Tour over, you know, appearances. But I think that just makes him hungry. That just makes him fight. So I think it's right there for John Rahm. So, yeah, more than happy to let him carry the Trends flag for us this year.
Yeah, I think that line that you said there in the middle resonates with me, which is he doesn't feel like a one-time Masters winner, does he? That it really is true. Dave, I can't thank you enough on short notice. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks very much.
Dave Tindall, everybody, at Dave Tindall Golf, T-I-N-D-A-L-L. He does more than a Trends piece. He writes about golf. He writes about the Prem.
Oh, yeah.
For Betfair.
He's got a lot up there.
For all kinds of outlets.
Finishing position bets he likes this week, all that stuff.
On my drive in, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis on By the Books had Brendan DeYoung on.
Mm-hmm.
He loves John Rahm as well.
Very popular this week, yep.
John Rahm, the second shot to win this behind Scottie Scheffler, of course. We'll come back, Nick Whalen, on the NBA and more. Next, on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on Visa.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I just saw a little graphic with all the places you have to go to watch the Masters this week.
Okay, can we spend a second on this?
Yeah.
So tomorrow, the Masters begin. We're going to be in here. We got screens.
Mm-hmm.
But when the tournament begins, it's not on the main network, right?
Correct. It's not on anywhere, I think, except for ESPN.com. Well, they'll have featured groups, I believe. I'll have to check on this.
Not even Masters.com or anything?
No, Masters.com too, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, that as well.
That's,
and
I
then
think
Amazon Prime, I think we just saw, picks up the full coverage.
We're doing that now.
1 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay. All right. That's always the frustrating thing. Got to get ahead of that.
Yeah.
Todd Wishnev joins us now, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, we still have to do our Splash Sports draft coming up for this great contest. I don't know, maybe I'll drive across the border too, be in this very exciting Splash Sports contest. Again, a high stakes Masters challenge where we get to draft one golfer from six tiers, and our top five scores will count One is a throw out, but then the lowest combined score will win it right after four rounds. But the big sort of stipulation is if one of your golfers misses the cut, it's an 8-stroke penalty.
Yeah, that's huge.
Very large. Kelly and I will do the draft coming up here momentarily. Todd Wishnev joins us now, though, as part of Wishnev Wednesdays. Couldn't be a Wishnev Wednesdays without the Wednesdays or the Wishnev. And we've got them both right here, right now. He's not purple quite yet. He joins us now after a 187-unit-plus college basketball season. He joins us now from Pittsburgh, PA, at T. Wishnev on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's up, Toddy?
What is up? How are you, Gilly? What's going on?
I'm doing very well. Are you A, sad that the college basketball season is over, B, relieved that the college basketball season is over?
I'm very sad. Of course, it's my best sport, and this was my best season ever. So of course I'm sad.
Okay.
I mean, where else am I going to find something to hit at 58%?
That's true. Over thousands, literally a couple thousand bets as well.
1956 plays, 58.7%.
There it is. 180.
But you see, for full disclosure, I put that my average play was -119, meaning I have to hit 54.3 to break even. I full disclosure it differently than some other people who play like 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, and then they go, "Oh, well, I'm up 50 units, but their average play was a 2-star, so they're really up only 25 units." I'm not going to say who that might be, but I'm going to say that maybe it's not full disclosure.
Any names you want to name while you're here?
No names.
All right. Well, people want to know, like, what do you do now?
But the guy who I'm talking about thinks Kelly Billen stinks at blackjack. That's all I'm saying.
It's really a mean thing to say about someone. Okay.
That doesn't narrow it down.
That does narrow it down. Let's see. Who could that be? All right. Baseball is your thing now. Baseball is your bag after college basketball. Explain to the people. So you are you do bet more pre-flop in baseball than you do in college basketball.
Yeah. And I haven't been, let me be full disclosure, I have not been successful in the last couple of years in the baseball markets. However, with the new exchanges, I'm hoping that can change because you're going to get much better pricing.
Yeah, the prediction markets are so good for baseball, man. So good on these, especially when the dime line has gone the way of the Edsel, as they say here in legalized territory. So, okay, give us a sense of what things you like to bet. What are you looking for?
Well, I've been tracking the strikeouts. You know, I've been keeping a little spreadsheet to keep track of how teams have done against an opposing pitcher's strikeouts, because you can find the strikeout data of particular pitchers, but it's hard to find the data of how a team has done against particular pitchers. So I've been keeping a little spreadsheet on that. It's been kind of interesting. The Oakland Athletics seem to have a penchant for striking out a lot. Different stuff like that I've been kind of gleaning out of those spreadsheets. And I haven't really made it that successful, but there has been some stuff. Like last night, Cam Schlitter for the New York Yankees. I just love saying his name, Cam Schlitter.
That's not how you say his name. It's Schlitter. It's Schlitter, and I'd prefer you not give it a try. How about that?
Is it really Schlitter? I thought it was Schlitter.
No.
There's an L at the end?
I think so.
I'm looking that up. I don't think you're right.
There is.
But anyways, there is an L at the end?
Yeah.
It's Cam Schlitter. Okay, my bad.
No, you knew what I was talking about. No more tries. Yes.
Anyways, the point about Mr. Schlitter is he's been very good with the strikeouts. And now, see, they've been boosting these guys who are good with the strikeouts up to like, now last night he was 6.5. So I'm like, that sounds kind of high, right? But since I know the Athletics are striking out a lot, I'm thinking, I'll do it anyway. So he did end up with the 7 and got me there. Conversely, the San Diego Padres have not been striking out. For some reason, they've been able to put the ball in play quite a lot. So last night, they're facing a guy some know as Paul Skeens. You might have heard of him. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this guy was at 6.5 against the Padres. And I said, you know what? Paul Skeens, he's great and all, but the Padres putting the ball in play. Let me go with the Padres to make it under against old Paul Skeens. I was in Death Valley. I was in terrible shape. He had 6 strikeouts in like 3 innings. But guess what? He stayed at six strikeouts the whole way. And you know, the Buccos management loves to pull Paul Skeens a little early, and they did. Yeah. And he ended up with six, and I won that one too. So, you know, I think, you know, following along with these teams to see who is not striking out is might be worthwhile.
Well, I think what's interesting about this, because most people, right, that you talk about baseball games, and as most content goes, they talk about, oh, I think this team's going to beat this team, or maybe if they get a little crazy, they go run line or totals. But what you're doing is you are, you know, Jason Weingarten was on this show for years. We talked about first inning, no run scored, yes run scored on the show for years before it sort of became popular. What you're doing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, it takes away a lot of the moving parts. Because baseball really is a individual game disguised as a team sport. And you're just going pitcher to batter, pitcher to the collective batters. And it really is a cleaner way for you to bet. And you are attracted to that for that reason, I would imagine, above all.
I never really thought about that, but that's probably a good point. I mean, I like to bet the other stuff too. Especially with the tighter numbers in the exchanges. You know, you can get some of these dogs at some, you know, in the old days, it was all about betting, finding the good dogs in baseball. Mm-hmm. And that kind of went away because they took all the juice out of them. But now with the Novigs and the Kalshis and all these places, you can start going back and looking at those dogs, to get in. I mean, of course, you have to watch the games. You have to get a feel like the Brewers already. I feel like the Brewers are doing Brewers things. They're like the Yukon of baseball.
Yes, they are.
They just grind it out. And, you start to figure out whose bullpens are the Washington Nationals blow a 5-2 lead last night. And I believe it's not the first time they've blown a lead in like 10 or 12 games. So it's, you start to get a feel for who can hold a lead, who can't hold a lead. But it's still hard because, you know, especially on the in-game, because the in-game is so wide in baseball, sometimes 30 cents and, you know, it's just, and sometimes more, you know, you can't really, it's just so hard to overcome that gigantic vig on the in-game.
Did you bet anything yet today? Anything already?
I did. I bet one guy to get a hit. I've been following these guys who get like red hot, and like Ryan O'Hearn has started very hot for the Pittsburgh Pirates. You might have heard of the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're a little bit like the Pittsburgh Stores and that, and you know, Pittsburgh Penguins, Pittsburgh Pirates. We got all of them teams down there. Anyways, the Pittsburgh Pirates picked up Ryan O'Hearn. This guy's hitting the ball to left field and that, and he's getting Bengals all over the place. Sometimes he throws in a homer and a dinger. But Ryan O'Hearn, I think, has been very, very good. Last year, he was very good too. I played him for a hit to get a hit today because I feel like he's not really valued yet. The Simpson kid from Tampa Bay, who I've been playing the first couple day games of the year, he's starting to get, you know, valued correctly because he was like hitting 400. Anytime he hits a ground ball, he's a threat to get an infield single. He's so fast, you know? And so I was playing him at like minus 180, minus 190. Now he's getting up to like 250, starting to get into the normal price range. But I did play Ryan O'Hearn over, and I'm probably going to play the Tampa pitcher to go over strikeouts against the Cubs. The Cubs have been striking out a lot. I believe his name is Joe Boyle. He's been K-ing people. And then, you know, I haven't looked at the whole card yet, but those are a couple that I was looking at so far.
I like it. Okay. It is really, you probably take in as much baseball, if not more, than you do college basketball. You really do. You really are locked into these teams. Obviously there's more college basketball games. So by that virtue alone, you probably watch more college hoops, but with baseball, so many opportunities. If you follow it, the bullpens thing remains maybe more consequential than anything, or as consequential as anything we've already known. And we've already been saying early in the season, like there are so many teams where the bullpens just cannot hold anything. And then conversely, you have a team like the Cincinnati Reds, man, and it's kind of lights out, both starters and bullpen. If they ever got consistent hitting, good God, this team would be great. So all this very interesting.
You have to keep an eye on these stuff, and you got to look for little angles. Like yesterday I had one, the score was 3-2 going to the top of the eighth, Arizona beating the Mets in New York. You had two full innings left. The over under was 6.5. If the Mets tie the game 3-3, you win automatically. Mm-hmm. So you get the Mets in the bottom eight, bottom nine against the bad Arizona pen, although they have Loaisiga, but he blew the game yesterday. So, you know, little angles like that also can be valuable if you can figure out who's a pen that I want to attack, you know, and I, you know, you get a chance like that. You just need one run, you know.
Todd Wishnev, everybody, at T Wishnev on Twitter. Star of Wish Never Wednesdays, of course, star of the Megapod during the NFL season. Thank you, Toddy. Appreciate it.
By the way, I just wanted to mention the person I wasn't mentioning has some really good takes on the world as well. Very strong takes on how the world works.
And as his,
so
and
if
as
you're his, ever wondering about the world, you could ask him.
As his enemy, he chose the world.
I like his XFL breakdowns.
Everybody. Coming back, Masters next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As always, we invite you to check out the Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com. You can scan the QR code for more on your screen. Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. sharpplays.com. Give them a try. We get tweets, beat of the book. Always appreciate it. Brian Morianen. I would reverse the dynamic pricing for NBA tanking. The team loses and the beer prices go up, so people buy less and they'll alienate fans. Yeah, I wasn't clear as to how the logic of it either, Brian. Niemo at Ryan's Voice. This time of year, I'm just about 100% aggregator, and I've heard over in the Nuggets-Grizzlies game several times now after Will mentioned it. Load the cannons, he says. Haha. This is from Gizzy, 1344. I threw in three parlays. Scheffler top 10, Bryson top 20, Young top 30, Reed top 40, just under 5-1. Then Rom top 10, Hideki top 20, Obert top 30, Rose top 40, just over 7-1. Xander top 10, Rom top 20, Fleetwood top 30, Fox top 40, 11-1. There you go. Okay.
Is there a reason behind
the... No, he's just doing
the 10, 20, 30, 40?
I have no idea.
I'm just curious. I don't dislike any of those.
Johnny B at Johnny Beast. Oh, did you see this? He says, for the most improved player award. Did you see the line movement in this? We already know Cooper Flagg's minus 360 now for rookie of the year. Most improved player, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, minus 1,500 at FanDuel. Jalen Duren has dropped to 13-1, and Denny, 75-1.
Okay, so that's interesting, because I looked. What did you just say, minus 1,500?
That's what I said.
Yeah, I think I saw minus 300 when I looked at DK this morning, and then it is minus 450 right now. So very big difference there.
All right, well, I'm seeing a picture. So.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
It is interesting. You know who else is very interesting? Paul Spore joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Spore, S-P-O-R-E-R. He works at FanGraphs, Sleeper in the Bus podcast. And then OOTP is where he also works as well. Just doing all kinds of things in a baseball life. Paul Spore now joins us from Austin, Texas, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, how you doing?
Gil, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. OOTP, once again, stands for?
Out of the park baseball.
Out of the park.
Well, out of the park. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did I say?
You didn't say OOTPB, so technically it doesn't stand for out of the park baseball. Gotcha. It just stands for out of the park. So I was just correcting myself, actually.
Okay, no problem. All right, so I have a couple things to talk to you about. One, you're a Tigers fan, Tarek Skubal. Hey, Charlotte. How you doing, Charlotte?
She hears somebody out there. She wants to talk Tigers.
Worried about Tarek Skubal or not?
0%, literally 0%. I mean, what was it? A bumpy start in frigid weather, which I hate. I forgive everyone who struggles in bad weather because I despise the cold. For those that don't know, I'm 6'5", 160. I'm built like Tristan McKenzie. So we don't do well in the cold. So I give everyone who struggles in the cold a free pass. I just truly couldn't care less. And then you throw in the fact that he just doesn't really do well out there at Target Field. And sometimes a division rival, even if they're not the best team, their place becomes a house of horrors. I think he's running a 5 ERA there. So wash it and move. I'm not too worried about
it. Okay. That's what I was looking for. We've gone from Chris Sale to Tristan McKenzie now in comps to you.
That's right.
6'5", 160. Okay. Here's the real
thing. Sale got a little bit more meat on his bones. McKenzie built exactly like me, which is why he can't stay healthy.
Okay, let's go to what I started the show with today. I'm watching. It was a great day of baseball. A lot of aces in action yesterday. Skeens was great. Rogers was great. Yamamoto was great. The one that really stuck out to me, though, because I was following this game between the Reds and the Marlins, Sandy Alcantara is pitching for the Miami Marlins yesterday. He is on the cusp, two outs away from not only the first back-to-back complete game shutouts in Major League Baseball since 2015, but also, more notably, the first back-to-back Maddoxes complete game shutouts while throwing less than or while throwing fewer than 100 pitches since Greg Maddux did back-to-back Maddoxes a quarter of a century ago. Two outs shy, a double, and then a walk. So McClain with a double, Elly De La Cruz walk. So it's runners at first and second. The Reds are down 2-0. Alcantara is sitting at 95 pitches. And it's so great. The Marlins announcers, Tommy Hutton is the color guy. It was just the way that they flipped on a dime from complete cockiness to, oh my God, what's happening? So Clayton McCullough, I don't know if you even know, the manager of the Marlins, Clayton McCullough.
You'd be making that up. I wouldn't know.
Seriously. That's right. No one follows baseball close to their ball. He's like, all right, sure, Clayton McCullough. Clayton McCullough, they're like, oh, is he going for a chat? No, he's going to the pen. And after the game, Alcantara even said, he goes, I wish someone would ask me how I feel.
Absolutely disgusting. I'm sorry. I'm going to go pretty aggressive with it here. Insane to not even give your ace a combo. Bro's calling to the pen before he even hits the foul line. By the way, for easiest way you can see how somebody didn't watch the game, I saw a bunch of tweets. First off, I went on Twitter. That's my fault. That place is a hellscape. But people saying, oh, this is not how you react to your manager. You could just say, hey, I wish, advocate for yourself. He didn't get the chance.
No, he didn't.
He didn't get the chance to fight for himself. Again, bro called the pen before he reached the foul line. How do you not give your ace and the most venerable guy in the game right now? He and Fromber and Logan Webber, probably the three guys that are most likely to go 9 innings in a given start. He's right up there. And I'd probably put Sandy number one, especially a healthy Sandy. He doesn't even get a convo. That's insane, man. That's seriously so, so bad. And I know he's a newer manager or whatever, but that is like, that's day one stuff. You give your ace a chat, sub 100 pitches, and he gave up a double to McClain and a walk to Elly. They're two best guys. What you didn't mention, Gil, he had an out. This is 8 1/3. He's a ground ball from getting out of this.
That's right.
In what universe is he still not your best chance over Anthony Bender, who, like, no shade to him, but also a little bit. Sandy at 95 pitches is way better than any reliever that they have.
That's
plain
right.
And simple, except maybe a fully rested Fairbanks, who's a really good closer. I will grant that. But they went to Bender. They didn't go to Fairbanks. I am so glad they lost, and I know that's petty as hell, but they deserved it. That was terrible. I was really, really annoyed by that. Get him out of there. Get Sandy to a team that cares. First start, he had to crush the fans for not showing up, because why aren't you showing up to Sandy's starts? And he was right about that. And this start, he's blasting his manager for taking him out too soon. And he's right about that. Get Sandy on a real team. Tigers will take him.
They got to be overdue for a move, right? Sandy's right. Lasted like a year or two longer there, it feels like, than he should have.
Well, if he had pitched better last year, I think there, you know, he was up and down because of TJ return. He had TJ, all the hallmarks of TJ return last year, you know, the inconsistent control. If he'd been pitching the way he did in the end of the second half, I think he'd have been traded. But he was bumpy, and so I think teams didn't want to overinvest. But with an extra year of service, I still think teams should have traded for him, because even if he wasn't great down the stretch, which he ended up being, you would have had a whole another year with Sandy. But now teams should be ringing up the Marlins left and right, because get him out of there. Get him to a real team. We deserve to see that ace on a real team.
And it's also why 18-1 for NL Cy, and in a world where Paul Skenes exists, even in a perfect world, 18-1 is still probably not good enough on Alcantara.
Not enough.
But you're right. Yep. But because of the possibility of him being shipped to an American League team, you can't really bet it, I don't think. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Because it would erase all of his NL numbers. You just can't. No matter how much you like him, you just can't do something like that. Because, you're already stacked against, even if he stays NL the whole year and goes to the Mets or the Dodgers or any other, high quality team there. Even that would still be difficult for him. But if he goes to the AL, you're immediately cooked there. So no, as much as I love Sandy, you can't do a Cy bet right now with him.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, though, because, and I know it's the White Sox and the Reds, and it's not exactly the 27 Yankees these last two games.
Sure.
But when he is efficient like that, throwing a Maddux, flirting with another one, it's really pretty amazing to watch. Because he's not a thrower, he's a pitcher. And it's really a great thing to watch if you're really a baseball purist. You bring up the thing about, the manager, Clayton McCullough, just absolutely terrible rookie maneuver right before you don't even have a conversation. I'll say this about Tony Vitello of the Giants also, not to get too sports talky on this, but it's why with some of these teams with first year managers, it does give you pause to bet on them. The Giants did win last night, but there were the game before was a high leverage moment, right? And it wasn't the ninth. It was like the seventh inning. And he puts in Ryan Borucki, who is just not that good. And it's this high leverage moment. And it's like, you know what, dude? Don't follow this script. We've seen it so many times, right? Your best pitchers don't have to pitch in the ninth. Put them in the biggest situation. It was against the Phillies. And of course, they lose the lead. The Phillies win the game. And I just thought about that at that moment too, Paul, where I'm like, there it is. Rookie manager, college or not, right? I'm like, first year manager, just making really first year decisions.
Absolutely. And I think we don't give enough credence to that, whether it's on the fantasy or the betting landscape of like, hey, there is a transition. I think everyone just kind of dismisses baseball managing as pretty easy. They don't have a big impact, this, that, and the other. And it's like, how many of these rookie managers do we have to see continually make these moves? You know, this guy who I actually consider a friend, we are friendly. We talk on text and everything, but a lot of critiques for early career Gabe Kapler. Remember when he came out? Remember when he was coaching the Phillies and he actually had to call in Hobie Milner without warm up because he accidentally went out there, signaled for the bullpen, and nobody was warming up. So, you know, we see rookie managers make mistakes. And to Vitello's credit, he didn't want to make the same mistake yesterday. So he went to Ryan Walker instead of Ryan Borucki, who is their best reliever. And hey, at least he's improving. Yes. Can't say the same for Clayton right now.
Yep. And he's a real stand up guy in press conferences, which I love, post game pressers, which I love too. Paul, always interesting. Thank you so much.
Thanks, gentlemen. Take care.
We'll recap the bets next.